The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Dr. Tony Evans shares his story of growing up during segregation.
Like many other chains, they wouldn't serve blacks except at takeout. I was curing my father about, you know, why is this? Then he said something I never forgot. You're a Christian. You belong to a king. So if they don't want to serve a prince in there, that's their loss, not yours.
A new kingdom perspective that embraces oneness and diversity.
Thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to share with you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome Dr. Tony Evans back with us. He has written a book called Oneness Embraced. I think it is interesting, if you can get a close-up of the cover here, and just see how race jumps out in the Oneness Embraced, which really, I believe, references and recognizes that when it comes to oneness, tragically race is an issue. I sometimes wonder if it's been dismissed from the possibility of real harmony in the heart. My friend, Dr. Tony Evans, who wrote this book, Oneness Embraced, he caught the vision of God's love for everybody as a black man. Stories he tells in here about how he wouldn't be served when he'd go in a restaurant or a public place and be overlooked. I can't tell you how when I was a little boy, I always had to ride the bus. We never had a car all the way up through my teen years until I had to leave home because I couldn't stay there anymore. I always wondered why they made black people go to the back of the bus. Made me sad. It hurt me. Dr. Evans is black. Such a great man. By the way, Betty and I have been putting arms around little black children all over Africa. I've had some beautiful black people say, you know, I wonder sometimes if all the black people watching are helping you help all those people over there in Africa. And I said, I don't know, but I'm going to help them every way I can because I just love them. Beautiful. Dr. Evans is here. Would you welcome my good friend? Tony, I'm glad you're here.
Good to be with you.
I love you, buddy. It broke my heart when I read in your book. By the way, it's great. You know, I told our viewers in an earlier program, this is how I read your book. I got the manuscript. We had the printer up. I got it even front and back on, you know, a whole bunch of the pages. You got it to me, and I had to go turn them over to get them on both sides and weren't numbered. I just plowed through it. And I read, by the way, I loved it. I couldn't put it down. I wasn't doing it just for you. What you said captivated me. I couldn't put it down because you were touching a whole truckload of human hurt with the love and heart of God. But when I read in here how you and your family were treated, it moved my heart again because I just don't understand how we could ever live there, how we could be there. But you told something about how your father, how he responded when you came home and talked about how they wouldn't serve you at the restaurant or they wouldn't treat you right. I'd love you to tell what you wrote in this book that I hope everybody reads. What your dad told you?
Well, there were a chain of restaurants in Baltimore, Maryland, where I was raised. Like many other chains, they wouldn't serve blacks except at takeout. But you couldn't go in and be served. And these restaurants, the White Tower restaurants, appropriately named, would not allow then referred to Negroes to be served inside. And I was curing my father about, you know, why is this? Why is this? He was explaining, summarizing the racial problem that didn't allow for that. But then he said something I never forgot. He says, you're a Christian. You belong to a king. So if they don't want to serve a prince in there, that's their loss, not yours. And that simple statement, he affected my view from God's perspective as opposed to the culture's perspective. Mm-hmm. And when I learned to do that, when I learned to look at race, class, culture from a theistic worldview, a God-centered, kingdom-based worldview, it not only changed how I related to me, how I related to others, but it changed how quickly problems could be resolved because I wasn't starting with the group, I wasn't starting with the culture, I wasn't starting with the media, I was starting with the divine frame of reference, which meant that I saved a lot of time and energy, heartache and headache, because I was starting with the solution, not taking decades to find one.
Wow. Mm-hmm. See, it all was because your father gave you what you refer to as a kingdom perspective.
Right.
That you really were a child of the king. Matter of fact, you referenced it, if they don't want to serve royalty in certain settings, don't, that's their loss.
Absolutely.
And that's really how we need to feel, so that there's an inner security. Now, let's just get honest. Out here watching us on television, communities everywhere, here in the audience, there is a racial distinctive. There's difference. There is a lack of opportunity a lot of times in the impoverished areas. And I guess I feel there was something that happened to me that I sense happened. I don't know that the only way I can explain that I didn't grow up with resentment and resenting the haves and pitting them against the have-nots or me as a have-not. I didn't grow up with that bitterness. And the only answer is that when I was a little boy, I stayed with a pastor for a few years that wanted to adopt me but never got to. And then I was taken away from him. I didn't understand all of that. But that little church never stopped praying for that little boy that was taken away. And I really believe, and don't ever sell short the power of prayer. You know, you point out that's one of the great kingdom effects when you understand what God's got. We can move not only God in our prayers, but move us as we pray, but something happens for others. When we pray for them, it's not wasted breath. It's not wasted time. I believe people were praying for me. And so as I grew up, I looked out seeing possibilities rather than hostility in somebody to hate or dislike. And I didn't grow up with that. Don't you think it somehow we've mistakenly today, even in the racial divide, we have tended to feed it rather than solve it. You know, I feel like we need to go into the communities like you do, where you've got the mentoring programs in the school, where you try to put a father in the setting where they don't have a father, where you try to show them some stability, show them an example, somebody to follow. I feel like we failed to do that. We just kind of waited for somebody in Washington to solve it and never gotten involved, so that if Washington really was thinking straight, they really wouldn't know how to walk straight in the middle of the problem because we haven't shown them how. Does that make sense?
Well, it absolutely does. Whenever you start with the government, that's the wrong song. That's backwards Christian soldiers instead of on with Christian soldiers. So God makes a statement in Ephesians 3:10 that's staggering. God says, I'm waiting on the church so I can get to work in the world. Mm. In other words, the church can actually block or stop God from moving because we are his authorized vehicle. So when the authorized vehicle is divided, is along racial or class or cultural lines, then the vehicle that he chooses to use. In fact, the major cause that the racial problem hasn't been solved is the church, not the world, because God is waiting on the church so he can get to the world.
I really believe that.
Because we are the body to express his presence in history. So 11 o'clock Sunday morning being the most segregated hour in America, and yes, there have been improvements, but for where we should be, it's interesting. Paul solved in 2 minutes what we haven't solved in 200 years. And that's because he had a kingdom perspective, Galatians 2. You got Peter eating ham sandwiches with the Gentiles, okay? He found out they could cook. So he got pig feet, hog maw, chitlins. He found out that pig is nice. So he's over there now that God has given him permission to eat anything. So he's on the other side of the railroad tracks eating with the Gentiles, and some of the boys from the hood show up. It says some of his Jewish friends showed up and intimidated him. How dare you eat with them? So he withdrew from the Gentiles, who are now his brothers and sisters in Christ, in order to satisfy his own race. The problem is, Paul saw it. And when Paul saw what they did, Paul didn't offer him a seminar, a workshop on unity. He didn't say, can we all get along? He didn't do none of that. It says, Paul says, I condemn Peter before them all, because he's messing with the truth of the gospel.
That's it, buddy.
He confronted him right then with the truth.
Yep.
And not only a general truth of the gospel, but I thought the gospel was the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, it is to create one body. So when you leave out what the gospel is supposed to accomplish, you've actually hindered the gospel. And the most powerful thing about this is my favorite verse in scripture about spiritual life is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. The life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That verse on who you are in Christ comes at the end of this story. So the main verse about Christian living comes after confused identity. So you can actually stop your Christian progress by confusing your spiritual identity by choosing culture over Christ.
Wow. And isn't that what we've done?
That's exactly what we've done.
And by choosing culture over Christ, haven't we as a church basically become passive? I mean, we're content to stay in our own little worlds.
Not under our little bushel.
Right.
Yes, it's like a husband and wife being content to stay in their two little rooms. Well, you can't have a family that way, okay?
Yeah.
Well, you can't have a family of God. If in marriage, the two are supposed to become one, and in Ephesians 2, he says that the two might become one new man,
mm-hmm.
God is still after the same thing. He's after maybe different expressions of the oneness due to background, personality, preaching styles, music styles. He validates those differences, but he wants them operating under the commonality of what he is doing in history, and that is expanding his kingdom.
Wow. And that would heal the racial rift.
Well, I tell you what, we had a guy in our church, came to our church, and he was there for a while, and more Anglos have begun coming to our church. So he was saying, what are we going to do about all these whites coming to the church? I said, well, you better keep winning the blacks so we outnumber them, you know? Keep winning people of Christ. So he's getting ticked off, and he says, well, if they keep coming like this, you know, I'm going to leave. I said, bye. I mean, we didn't have a meeting. We didn't have a sensitivity session. Now, maybe he was hurt. Maybe he had a bad experience. Maybe he had faced racism. Okay, while you are working on your feelings, fix your feet now, okay? Okay, your feelings can't control your feet, all right? So I was not going to let him control the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
He must adjust to the kingdom of God quickly.
Yeah. Can I just say something to all the major media? When you're looking for somebody to represent a community that understands what it's like to be mistreated and overlooked and abused and neglected and discriminated against, why don't you let Dr. Evans talk to you on your camera and leave the camera running long enough for him to get something said? Because I want to tell you something. He can represent. I don't know if you'll take this in the wrong way. I pray not. I pray nobody does. But I see some representatives who supposedly represent the black community and the black dilemma that I don't see offering a realistic, much less a kingdom, solution. Now, am I right about that? I'm not trying to be critical.
No, I understand.
Because, see, I can't find anybody not to love.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to love people that I think are really wrong because God made it clear to me when I was saying, well, I know they're wrong, and God said, would you like to get something really settled? There's some things wrong with you, too.
Absolutely.
So you got to work on them. So I'm not going to be critical. But what I'm saying is I don't think they represent either the need or the solution appropriately, but they're the ones that always got a camera and they always show up every time there's something going on where there is a camera, but they're not saying what people need to hear to get them out of the pit that they're in and to bring the harmony. I don't think they're saying
it. You know, the one thing that our kingdom vision promotes is being an overcomer. Jesus promised that operating under his kingdom, you would be an overcomer. Now, to be an overcomer, you got to have something to overcome. I mean, the Cowboys can't complain. The 11 other men are on the other side of the ball, and they keep stopping us. We can't get anywhere, because every time we try to go forward, they push us back. They're going to be sent over
that
to the bench.
That sounds like the Cowboys.
That does. Okay. Now, that may be a reality, and you don't skip the fact that they are there. But what that is an opportunity to show greater are you on your side of the ball than they are on their
That's
side
exactly
of the ball.
Right.
So you can't promote a victim's mentality.
I agree.
Victimology is a crisis. Mm-hmm. You don't deny the reality, but you don't create a filter through which a victim's mindset always flows through, because then you'll never become an overcomer. You'll only become one who gives excuses perpetually.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and say something to the whole world that's listening right now. And Betty's... They got the camera on both of us, so I'm going to be sure we're saying this in oneness. Now listen to me. I wish the whole world of hurt were the racial pain, which is very real, but where the answer is even bigger than the pain. And that answer is God's kingdom reality, Jesus in us, the love of God in us, tearing down those walls that divide. I'm saying to you, and I really believe this, the message about kingdom reality and tearing down those walls that divide and letting the real imprint of God come on earth in the culture, that is a greater message and a greater need, and we have a greater opportunity than even the positives that happen in the Emancipation Proclamation or in the Civil Rights Movement, even as it relates to racial issues. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. If the I was with Billy Graham, my wife and I were with Billy Graham, and he told me one of the great regrets of his ministry is that black and white churches would come together for the event and never speak to each other after the crusade was over. So people, we will exchange choirs, exchange preachers, we'll do events, but that's not unity. In fact, the biblical definition of racial reconciliation isn't even that we are getting along better. It's that we are working together to serve somebody else. Mm. Let's get to know each other while we're helping somebody else,
exactly.
Which is what
that's
this
right.
discussion is all about.
Absolutely.
We are helping somebody else, and we're reconciling in ministry and in service, not in sessions and in programs and in seminars.
Hey, let me add one little footnote to that. This is just carried it one more step. One of the reasons that happens is because the people from different denominations in the evangelical community, in the faith community, and people who believe Jesus is the answer, they'd come together to have a crusade, and then after the crusade was over, forget color. They wouldn't speak to each other anymore either.
Right, that's
because
true.
We are divided, and we can't accept our differences as honing mechanisms and as opportunity to respect and appreciate each other until we get the church right. I mean, until we embrace the oneness Jesus prayed for. And we say, I'm going to move into that. We're not going to see the kind of healing that God's presence and power could bring to the nation. So we got to, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to bring people together. I'm going to be a part of bringing people together under Christ as the head, where the anointing that's on him will come down over the whole body.
Well, so powerful is this, that it is hindering God from answering Jesus's prayer that they might be one so that the world will know that he is the Christ. So we're blocking Jesus from being exposed to the culture, but we're blocking something else that a lot of people don't know, and that is in 2 Peter chapter 3, we're blocking the return of Christ. Mm. It says that Jesus is coming back, but he's waiting on you.
Yeah.
So we're actually hindering the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I want to be part of holding Jesus in heaven when he's ready to come to earth
the
human side.
And he's
of
coming for a church adorned in his glory.
Absolutely.
That's his presence, buddy. That isn't a desecrated, defeated, divided, fighting, mean-spirited church. Y'all hearing us out there? Y'all agree with what you're hearing? Do you like what this man says?
Mm-hmm.
There's harmony of heart here, and I'm going to tell you something we can have it with everybody. We absolutely can. Get this book. It is on Tony's website. It's in bookstores. But I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll send it to you today. Tony, we're trying to rescue girls and literally children out of the sex trafficking in Asia. We've got an incredible outreach in Thailand. This is so horrific, you don't even like to think about it. But love is the way for them to get out. And I will gladly send you Tony's book just to say thank you. If you'll just be a part in helping us give some girls, some women in desperate situations, and you're going to see what love built. You're going to see a beautiful life center that you built. People, somebody just like you, and gave hope. Watch this closely.
Look at the faces of these beautiful young people singing. They're singing songs of gratitude to God for a place that's been granted to them, for the love that's come to them. Now, many of those children, many of them, are orphans, and they had no one to take care of them. And others were dangerously at risk of being captured into slave trafficking. But now they're transformed. They're singing about Jesus, and it's all available to them because of love that came from people like you.
Well, you know, when I looked at even earlier in that very difficult to watch piece, except for the Life Center, you could see, but I saw just a row of girls there, Betty, at first, that were weeping, that were trapped. They were slaves, held captive in the sexual predation where they primarily prey on children, and they literally hold these children captive. And Betty, we can rescue them. And when I saw that Life Center, wasn't that beautiful? You did it. You took the dream to help someone beyond our vision. When you said, let's do something special in really the sex capital of the world for exploitation of children, Thailand. And that's where that center is, the House of Destiny. And right now in other countries all over Asia, we are renting quarters with the mission workers and relief workers. And some of the areas we can't mention by name, it would jeopardize their safety. But we could take those rented quarters and we could literally, with your help, convert it and have another home like that. But Betty, to see those children singing who had been in prison, see the love of God.
It's beautiful, James. They've gone to a safe haven now, a place where they can experience love and joy and peace, coming from a place where they had no choice in what they do, a place of fear and hurt and pain and destruction and being abused completely, but to a place where they can feel and act like children should be able to. You know, to be able to have a place where they can laugh. There's nothing sweeter than the laughing of a child. And you have been a part of that, and I know you want to help even more of the children that are out there desperately crying for help.
Let me tell you, Betty, and all of our friends watching, and I thank you for emphasizing exactly what can happen. And what it takes is simply you dialing the telephone number, and you know that number's there. If you needed someone to pray with you, someone to share your concern, to be a shoulder. You need a shoulder sometimes to lean on, not a sermon. You need a shoulder. Well, it's always there. But if you would dial it today, you would be offering, like Betty said, a haven, a place of escape in the arms of love. And you could see that at the Life Center. I mean, what a change. If you would simply dial that number, take your bank card, use it like a check, or write a check, make it to Life. Go online, lifetoday.org, and make the best gift you can. Keep this in mind. $128 to rescue one of those children, one of those girls, or one of those women. That's the average cost. We're asking as many of you as can, could you give enough money to rescue $1,280? Could you possibly do that? Would you right now dial the number, use that card, give the gift of life to someone? Please do that. Father, I pray you'd move on every heart listening to go, to call, and to make the best gift they possibly can, in Jesus' name. We have some beautiful gifts to send to you. We're sending the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze to those of you who will help us rescue 10 or more. Some of you may be able to do more than that. The butterfly effect, I'm telling you, you can set waves of healing in motion that are indescribable. You have that effect. Thank you for making that call. Please do it. If you were to get a busy, you say, I'm going to get through because I'm going to rescue someone. Thank you for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. We can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out, and we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture that demonstrates God's fatherly love for us as His children. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I just say thank you, and I want to remind you that if you'll help, whatever gift God puts on your heart, when you make that gift, we'll be glad to send you Dr. Tony Evans' book, Oneness Embraced. I could wish every pastor, and I really wish in areas where you felt like I've been overlooked, what do? Boy, I wish you could see this. You talk about seeing your way out of darkness. You talk about becoming a light to others who've been hurt. I wish every pastor would read it. And I wish the churches would take some of the implementation of the programs that works. I pray you'll do that. Incredible book. Dr. Evans, thank you for being here. Would you just join me saying thanks?
Thank you.
We're going to do another program this week, all right? I want to talk about kingdom perspective as it can impact the culture, including the nation's capital. All right? Thanks for watching. Don't miss the next program.
Taken on the Sex and the City kind of attitude that if we can't, that we as a gender, I'm speaking of women, if we can't beat them, we'll join them.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.